Hell Yes Life, episode 13.
There is this kind of, you know, general misconception that life purpose has to be, you know, with a capital L and a capital P, and it has to be this great big life-changing thing that you're doing for the world. Now, it can be if that's what makes you come alive, but it, for most people, it doesn't have to be, and thank goodness, because there'd be all sorts of huge, enormous projects going on for everybody, and it's not necessary. It's life purpose can just be, it really is only about doing that thing that makes you feel alive, that makes you feel good, and it doesn't have to be, I said this to somebody recently, it doesn't have to be that you have to set up, you know, a huge global charity to save the world. It can just be that little thing that makes you feel good. It could be, you know, being a parent, or it can be, you know, being a hairdresser, or it could be opening a shop, or all sorts of different things. It doesn't have to be a great big global charity to save the world.
Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a hell yes life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey everybody, Norman Bell here. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, where you will hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from our amazing guests that will motivate you to move towards your Hell Yes Life. If this is your first time listening, hell yes, I'm glad you can join us. The Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday, and show notes can be found at hellyeslife.com. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed, and please join the Hell Yes Life private Facebook group, which you can access from hellyeslife.com. Now let's get into today's episode. Hell Yes Lifers, today my guest is Lisa Cherry Beaumont. Now, Lisa is a life purpose coach, workshop leader, and author of the best-selling book, Life Purpose Alchemy, Discover What Fulfills You and Do What You Love for a Living. Sounds right up our alley, doesn't it? Lisa helps people who are stuck doing work they don't love and who find themselves hopping from one frustrating business to the next to understand what's meaningful to them so they can do work and or create a business that makes them happy and keeps them motivated. Now, in our conversation, we talked a bit about how Lisa discovered her hell yes during a weekend workshop, why she didn't feel fulfilled at a 9-to-5 job that should have felt fulfilling, what she does to help her clients identify their purpose, the difference between doing something that's important with a capital I and doing something that authentically lights you up, and how you can stay focused on your passion even in challenging times. Well, I'm excited to share my conversation with Lisa, so let's jump right in. Lisa, thanks so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
Oh, great. How are you?
I am doing just great. Now, Lisa, are you ready to tell our listeners about your Hell Yes Life?
Hell yes.
All right, let's do this. Okay, so I always like to start off, Lisa, by asking people, what is your hell yes? And by that, I mean, what is your passion? What is the thing that really lights you up and makes you come alive?
Well, Norman, my passion, the thing that lights me up and makes me come alive, is actually helping other people to find that thing for themselves so that they can understand what their passion is that makes them come alive. So I'm a life purpose coach.
Yeah. And I think we can have that. We have that in common in the sense that that's kind of why I'm here and doing this show as well. So it's one of the reasons I'm interested in connecting with you. So when can you recall a time, whether this was, you know, when you were a kid or, more recently, when you realized that this was something that you really wanted to follow as part of your life purpose?
Well, it's interesting, actually, you should ask me, if it came up when I was a kid, because really strangely, I remember in the playground when I was very young, I must have been thinking about what school I was in. I must have been sort of 10 years old and below, that people used to say to me, "You're such a good listener. Oh, Lisa, you're such a good listener." And that was little children saying that to me, my friends, my peers. But it took me a very, very long time to actually do anything with it that was that was particularly useful. It was It was when I did a two-day training course. I found somehow randomly online, this thing popped up and said, we're doing a two-day free training course in a city that was near to where I was living at the time, for life coaching. And I thought, oh, I've heard of life coaching. And I kind of got a funny feeling that it felt kind of good to me. So I went along to do that. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a full training course in 2 days. Obviously, it was just a taster to show you what it was all about. But I knew, Norman, I knew as soon as he started showing us what it was about and how it worked and got us even trying little exercises on each other, I was, yes, this is it. This is what I've been searching for. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I just knew. I knew with all my heart.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice, actually. Yeah. It was a hell yes for you there, wasn't it?
It really was.
And what, once you kind of discovered that, then what happened? So you took that 2 day course, and where did you go from there?
Well, they offered a training course from that if I wanted to join up. And so obviously I did. I was a hell yes for that, definitely. And so I trained with them. And during that training, what I had to do was have lots of case studies. I had to practice on lots of different people. Obviously, I didn't charge them for that because I was new to it. So I did a lot of practicing, a lot of training. I had a lot of practice clients. And by the end of it, I had a good feeling of what my, always say niche, you say niche, what my niche was, what specifically it was in coaching that I wanted to be doing. And it was life purpose. And the reason, actually, Norman, that came up for me was, you know, while I was coaching people, even though they were coming to me with all sorts of different problems, because, you know, you start, it's like with anything, you start off doing sort of general coaching, you start off with like the general, and then you start niching down into your specific area once you've practiced. And I was coaching people for all sorts of different things, you know, diet and lifestyle and relationships and work and, you know, home life, domestic situations, all sorts of things. And what it came down to, what I noticed, and perhaps you've noticed this in your work as well, is that it seemed repeatedly to be that the problem that they were coming to me with was not the underlying problem. It was that they were spending their days doing things that didn't make them happy. That was it. That was the fundamental problem with all of them. So if someone had a poor diet or if someone had a poor relationship, it wasn't the relationship that was the problem. It wasn't the diet that was the problem. It was the reason underneath that was the problem, which was them not being happy in themselves.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. I think I've experienced that in my own life, and I can imagine that our listeners might resonate with that as well. So keep talking there. So so you noticed that was driving things, and so that's what made you decide to focus on life purpose. What did you find then?
Well, what I found is, you know, this word, and it's become over the last few years a bit of almost like a cringeworthy word that people are throwing around all over the place, but you know, it's become that because everybody's using it because it means something, and that's authenticity, authentic. People were not living authentically in line with themselves, in line with what they really wanted to do. There was a lot of living in, oh, fear that I have to do this or I have to do that. And so obviously it was throwing them off kilter. It was making them feel unbalanced within themselves, making them feel unhappy. What I noticed, I've got a little bit of experience with depression and anxiety in, you know, in myself and in, you know, in family members and in friends. And I've studied a little bit around it as well. And, you know, not to, you know, sort of dismiss any medical conditions, but very often it is so much to do with not spending time doing the things that you love, not listening to that inner voice and allowing whatever it is, whatever emotion needs to come up, whatever activity it is you'd rather be doing, whatever it is you'd rather be doing, to allow it and allow that authentic life to come out.
Right. Yeah. And this show is pretty much all about that, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've heard the quote, but the quote that I started this whole thing out with was a quote by the civil rights activist Howard Thurman, who says, "Don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive." Yes. And go do it, because what the world needs is people who have come alive, right?
Yes.
And so I try to come back to that too. So it's just like, well, what makes me come alive? And I would say, Hell Yes lifers out there, as you're listening to me and Lisa talking, like, ask yourself that question too. Again, you know, what makes you come alive? Like, what authentically makes you come alive? Let me ask you this, Lisa, because I think sometimes when we're talking about this, you know, what's my life purpose? That we start to get in our head a little bit about, I have to do important things, capital I, capital T.
Yes.
You know? And I'm trying to discern between that sense of I have to do something important and something that really makes me come alive. Can you talk a little bit about that and how, you know, if someone was to come to you, or even who's just, you know, people who are listening to this, how might people go about finding their quote unquote life purpose?
Well, oh, it's so interesting. You should ask this as well, Norman, because this, I could wax lyrical about this for hours. I'll try not to.
go ahead.
But there is this kind of, you know, general misconception that life purpose has to be, you know, with a capital L and a capital P, and it has to be this great, big, life-changing thing that you're doing for the world. Now, it can be, if that's what makes you come alive. But it, for most people, it doesn't have to be. And thank goodness, because there'd be all sorts of huge, enormous projects going on for everybody. And it's not necessary. It's life purpose can just be, it really is only about doing that thing that makes you feel alive, that makes you feel good. And it doesn't have to be, I said this to somebody recently, it doesn't have to be that you have to set up, you know, a huge global charity to save the world. It can just be that little thing that makes you feel good. It could be, you know, being a parent, or it can be, you know, being a hairdresser, or it could be opening a shop, or all sorts of different things. It doesn't have to be a great big global charity to save the world. Your little part is just as important as something that's really, really huge, because it's part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that that's something that, you know, that can be confusing to people to you know, oh, I've got to do something big. Da, da, da. Oh, no. But it's really about like what you're talking about. And what you do is you listen to people, and people, I imagine, in working with you, start to learn to listen to themselves and listen to learn to notice themselves. And that's what I'm noticing with myself, too, is like, oh, wait a second. I notice that I also went through this kind of coaching program as a guest client this past year, and they talked a lot about noticing your essence qualities versus when you're kind of in your survival mechanisms, yeah. Right? So when I'm in my, just really noticing like, oh, when am I really lit up and in my essence qualities of, you know, light and inspiration and all that? And when am I kind of, you know, acting and reacting out of fear? Can you give an example of someone without kind of going into the, you know, nitty gritty details about a client, but, you know, just an example of someone who you've seen sort of come into, their, you know, discovering and working with their life purpose?
Oh, let me have a think. Yeah. So, probably one of my, I'll talk about one of my current clients actually. He came to me with, he's, you know, he's got an inverted commas good, you know, good job, great job, but very bored. It's not really lighting up. It's not really what he wants to do. There's aspects of it that are great, but a lot of it he's, you know, had enough. And he came to me saying, I just don't know what it is. I want to do. I've just no idea. And I've got so many passions and I'm interested in so many things. This is, I usually get one of these two, actually, Norman. Either people say to me, I've got loads of passions and I don't know what to pick. Or I get people who say to me, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I can't think of anything. And it's usually one or the other. And this gentleman, so many passions, but he was like, I just don't know what I want to pick. And we talked for, I think we had two sessions at that point when it became very, very apparent what he should be doing. Because he's actually already doing it. He's already doing it in his spare time. But this hadn't sort of occurred to him somehow. I don't know how it had managed to hide itself behind a curtain somewhere. But he loves doing. And what it is a videographer. Mm-hmm. And he does this in his spare time. And but just didn't have that awareness of how much he loved it and how it's possible for him to actually do that for a living, and just specifically how he wants to actually be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then how to, and we can take this specific case or anybody in that particular
part, time in their life, right? Maybe they've got, and I could put myself in that category. I'd say maybe I'm one step ahead of that in the sense that I now know that this is my passion, but, I have a day job, I'm doing this on the side, and I've started to, see these little avenues of like, oh, okay, I have some free time here, I'm going to work on my passion. But how do people go from that place of really thinking of something as a hobby, this is just sort of this off to the side thing that I'm doing, to wait, no, this is my life purpose, regardless of, how I'm bringing in an income right now?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I usually get people to do is to have a look for evidence that other people are doing it for a living. So, I did that with this particular client. I remember saying, okay, so you can't quite see how this could possibly be. It's a particular type of videographer that he wants to be working in a particular way. And we talked about all these different ways. Obviously there's a sticking point there of, I'm not sure if that's possible. I'm not sure if it's possible to do that, to earn a living from it. And so I said, well, go and find me evidence of people who are already doing this, and then come back to me with that evidence and let's have a look. And that's exactly what we did. So if there is somebody listening that's saying, well, I've got this kind of, little side thing going on that doesn't make me any money, and the thing is, I just do it anyway, I'm not earning any money from it, but it's fun, then have a look and see if there are other people doing something similar to that, or something equally crazy, or something that you think is equally pointless. You might think it's pointless or that it's not helping anybody. But have a look and see if there's anyone who's doing something similar to that and actually getting paid for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I've done. One of my passions and interests is public speaking. And I've done that as well. You can look at something two ways, right? You can look at somebody and say, they're speaking to 50,000 people. Oh, I could never do that. Or you could look at that same person and say, hey, they're speaking to 50,000 people, why can't I do that?
Exactly.
So it's kind of a mindset shift, right? Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about you. So this is where you are now. Let's go a little earlier back in the timeline, to a point when, before you went to that 2-day coaching program, and you were kind of struggling yourself, maybe with your Hell Yes or with something else in life. Take us back to one of your challenges, where you weren't really sure what direction to go, or you faced an obstacle and, hey, maybe you overcame it, or maybe you didn't, but you learned something from it.
Yeah, sure. Well, I got great jobs. I was living in London, and I had a great job. And before that, I'd had a great job as well. And I was earning good money, and I was great at it, and I was appreciated. I didn't have one of those jobs where, I hated going in every day, and, I didn't get on with my colleagues, and I wasn't very well paid. No, it was good. I got on with my colleagues. I was appreciated at my job. I was pretty well paid. They were nice offices. But I felt stuck and trapped, Norman. I felt like this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm good at this. I'm really good at this. And people keep saying, oh, thanks for that piece of work, Lisa. That was great. Really appreciated. Here's your pay rise, etc. Isn't that ticking all the boxes? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't what I wanted to be doing. It just felt like it felt meaningless to me. And I'm not saying that the job itself was meaningless, because it wasn't. The job itself was meaningful. I did different jobs. I was working in an office, and it was a meaningful piece. It was meaningful work that I did, but it wasn't meaningful to me. And that's the crux. I had somebody come to me, must have been about a year ago. And she's a teacher, or she was a teacher. And she said to me, it doesn't feel purposeful. It doesn't feel meaningful to me. I feel unfulfilled. She said, I can't understand it, because being a teacher is very meaningful. It's very important. And I said, yes, it is. And everything that we all do is meaningful and important. But you've got to find the thing that's meaningful and important to you. And that's all it's mm-hmm. about. Is it meaningful and important to you? It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks, or whether it's meaningful and important work in itself. Is it meaningful and important to you? That's all.
Completely. Yeah. So Hell Yes Lifers, if you're listening to this and you're, in a place or in a job or a position where you're thinking, I should be feeling more out of this. There is meaning to what I'm doing, but I'm just not feeling it. Well, just ponder this question. Is this meaningful to you? You don't have to feel obligated, to feel fulfilled by something. when you're not, you know, that will come. Would you say at least that that's the case, that, you know, when it happened, like you said, you were talking about that, that coaching course, I could hear it in your voice, you know, that you were just like, yes, this is it. Hell yes. You know, when you, when it's your hell yes, you'll know, and it'll come from the inside out. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And a lot of the time, you know, there'll be a lot of people I'm sure listening right now that have already got a little piece of that in what they're doing, but they just don't recognize it in the things that they're doing outside of their work. They just don't recognize it.
What would be one concrete tip or action that you think our listeners could take if they're in that position? I just imagine somebody's driving in their car, listening to this, driving to or from their job that they feel ho-hum about. And as they're listening to this, they're noodling about, hey, you know, I really love that knit. I always have this, I don't know why I was this example of knitting scarves or something, but whatever that thing is that they enjoy, what's one thing they could do?
So if they do a little bit of scarf knitting in their free time and they're thinking, I quite fancy doing that for a living. Is that what you mean?
Something like that. Something that's digestible. That's like, oh, I could put this into practice tomorrow. What might they do? Just work on it a little bit each day, or what's something that kind of feeds the, you know, waters the soil so that the plant can grow, metaphorically speaking.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to step back a little bit from that, because, you know, what I could say is, you know, set yourself up a website and get some clients, et cetera, et cetera. But no, that's not what you need to do first, because it is possible to have hobbies that will be unfulfilling for you as a business. So what I would suggest that you do, and this is what I do with all of my clients, because it's the most fundamental part of what we do, it's so crucial to understand this about yourself, is to look back at all the jobs that you've ever done. And it doesn't matter whether you were there for half a day. It doesn't matter whether you were there for 20 years. It doesn't matter whether you were paid, paid well, unpaid. It doesn't matter. If you did some work, I want you to look at what it was about it that made you go and do it, what it was that made you stop. And then there'll probably be a few different factors. And then while you were there, even if it was terrible for most of the time, even if it was awful for most of the time, just try to remember or think of those little factors about it that you really, really enjoyed. Those times, those moments, because there will have been moments, even in terrible, awful jobs, even the ones where you cry on the way to work, there are always moments in that job that were joyful at some point, and pick them out and do that with all the jobs that you've ever done as far back as you can remember. So what made you go and take that job in the first place? What made you leave? And while you were there, what was joyful about it? And you will find a pattern. You will find a pattern. Even though it seems like it's completely random, it isn't. So find those things that motivate you, that demotivate you, and make you feel joyful, and make sure that those factors, those crucial, crucial factors that will not have changed, are in the work or business that you decide to do going forward, because that is so important. Because if they're not there, you won't feel motivated, you won't feel happy.
I agree with that completely. So yeah, and I before I started doing this, I was doing this kind of this business storytelling workshops, and it was one of these things that was like, you know, that seems like a good idea, and I'm kind of interested in this. It seems like something people are interested in, but I could just feel that it was sort of a head thing versus really coming from my heart. And so I just kind of kept working with it to come to this, which I feel is much more of my passion. So hell yes, lifers. And if I may add to this, Lisa, I would suggest, like, free writing for me has been a gift. There's things that you don't know are inside you, but if you just kind of do that free writing of, you know, where you don't even put the pen down, if you don't know what to say, just say blah 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 blah, I don't know what to say, and then things start to come up. And one thing I would add to that is that with a kind of a, what sounds like a big task, sometimes like, wow, I've got to write, go through all of my jobs from my entire life. I always try to think of, you know, what could break through the resistance to sitting down and doing that. And what I found is helpful is just setting my timer on my phone for 10 minutes. And at the 10 minute mark, I stop, you know, so yeah, just do it for 10 minutes and then try it again the next day for 10 minutes, and make it a little ongoing practice rather than having it be, you know, a full day project or something.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, it usually takes, it can take about an hour. So yeah, if that sounds daunting and overwhelming, then do one job at a time for 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, I just always do that for myself because otherwise I procrastinate. But if you want to do it for an hour, by the way, go for it. You know. So let me also ask then, what do you feel, take us to a big success, so a breakthrough moment. So it sounds like, you know, for example, one of your breakthrough moments was discovering this in that course that, wow, this is really it for me. Yeah. Can you think of another one?
I can, actually. Let me have a think how to explain it. So I've got a book, Norman, called Life Purpose Alchemy. And there's an exercise in that book, and it's the one that I've just described. It's the exercise that I just described that I was doing with my clients one-to-one. So the one where I said, go back over all your work history and pick out the motivators and the things that you enjoyed. That exercise, and I was doing it very fluidly with my clients, doing it, you know, over Skype or over the phone or whatever, doing it very fluidly. And I couldn't get a structure to it. And I struggled with, and I wanted to put it into my book. I had a book out previously that didn't have this exercise in it, but it's such a crucial piece of work that the book just didn't feel complete without it in. It was like, no, this has to be in there, but I don't know how to automate it. I don't know how a person can do this for themselves. And I'd been to and fro with it for months and months and months. And I'd sat down with friends and spoken to them about how it works. And they said, oh, I don't think this is possible. You know, it's something that you'd have to do, you know, one-to-one. You have to talk to people about this kind of thing. And one day I was standing in my living room in Barcelona in Spain. And I said, I've got to give me this information. And I actually I stood in the middle of the living room looking out to the sea, and I put my arms up. This is the truth. I put my arms up into the air and I said, give me the answer to this. I need the answer to this because it has to go into the book. It has to.
Mm.
And I then next thing I knew, a pen scrabbling with bits of paper, I got all the paper out of the printer all over my desk, and I was writing down this whole system and process for how to do this. And it's actually very simple, but the way that I'd been doing it hadn't been. And it all just came out, and by the, you know, after paper all over the place, it was like an avalanche. I was like, this is it. I've got it. This is it. And I'd been struggling with it for so long, I can't even tell you. And I thought, it can't be this simple. It can't be this simple. So I sent it to, I got eight people, and I sent it to them. And I said, I want you to be, I've written down instructions on how to do this. And I just want you to try it and see what you think. And I was certain that they were going to come back to me and say it was really difficult, it was really complicated, it wasn't useful. Anyway, I got them all to send me back the results. And every single one of them, all eight of them, said to me, it was fantastic. Fantastic. This is the best information I've ever had about myself. This is amazing. I love it. And it was very straightforward to go through. That was huge for me. That was really huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've had that experience. I think maybe a lot of our listeners have had that experience too. Whatever you call that thing that's not you, God or the universe or your higher self or something, when you kind of turn it over to, you know, universe, give me the answer here. Amazingly, oftentimes the answer will come, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That is, that's great. That's great. I always like to ask guests, now looking forward a bit, you're obviously at a good place in your life. You're helping other people find their passions. You've identified that for yourself. You're also, it sounds like, traveling all over the world as a nomad there. That sounds great. but what I always like to ask guests, what is your big vision? And I use this term, your cringeworthy vision. And I heard you use the term cringeworthy earlier. And by cringeworthy, I don't mean cringeworthy like, ew, that's a yucky vision, but cringeworthy in the sense that you cringe just thinking about sharing it because it's such a big vision.
Yeah.
I'm now giving you the opportunity to share it with our listeners now.
Yeah, I've got a terrifying vision, actually. And I don't think I've even come public with this, actually. So you might be the first people to hear it. Are you ready?
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Oh, well, what I really want is my own slot, not my own show, but my own slot on a US TV show. And what I know, it's huge, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what I'm going to be doing, what I want to be doing, I say going to be doing, it is going to happen, is I'm going to be showcasing and interviewing people who do really unusual things for a living. And the reason for that is that I want to get a bigger audience. My audience at the moment is online, And I want to get a bigger audience. I want to get into people's living rooms, those that are not online, those that are not in the, you know, in the online space, the people that maybe watch the television, to get them to see that it's possible to get outside of that, you know, that 9-to-5 box. It's possible to earn money in unusual ways, to be doing different things. And it just sounds like so much fun. It sounds like so much fun. And this is what I say to people, do that thing that feels like fun to you. And this just sounds like so much fun to me.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. And not too far off of what we're doing here. We're just interviewing amazing, unique people like yourself who have discovered their hell yes, living their hell yes life. So let's keep in touch about that. That sounds like a great dream.
Right.
Great cringeworthy vision. let me ask you this, and I just want to acknowledge this just because of the time that we're in. We're in late January here. Things are kind of blowing up in our in my country here and kind of all over the world. And so not to get too into the politics of it, but I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about, you know, when people are in challenging times, how do we still stay focused on our hell yes or moving towards our hell yes life and balancing that out with, you know, all the things that are going on?
Yeah, I can understand it's very difficult with everything that's going on at the moment for a lot of people. And, you know, one of the things that I said recently was a king is only as powerful as the people who serve him. But also, I feel that we can only really change ourselves. I feel that we can only really change ourselves. And in doing so, inspire others to follow suit. So if something, you know, if something doesn't resonate with us, then we need to not do it. If something mm-hmm. doesn't feel right to us, then we need to not engage with it, not spread it, not even, and this is a very, it's not a very common thing that's said, but I personally feel that the more energy you give to something, whether it's positive or negative energy, the more it expands, the more it grows, the more of it there becomes. And so personally, the way that I work and I help my clients to work as well is to look at what they do want to create in the world and move mm-hmm. toward that. So rather than fighting the negatives, actually throw yourself toward the positives. And you'll create mm-hmm. more of the positives. Put your energy into the positives. Put your energy into building what you do want to create rather than fighting what you don't want to create.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I think about that too. I've, you know, way like, oh, how do I want to respond to this? And well, one thing I wanted to do is make sure not to just ignore it and bring it up in conversations like this. But, you know, just wanting to get feedback from people like yourselves about, yeah, what do we do in times like this where there's something big in going on in the world that may bother us, but how do we show up for those things? So I think that's great. You know, it just the more that we focus on the good that we want to bring into the world, the less power we give away to the things that, that, you know, we don't agree with. So, well, what is, before we go, can you give us one tip, quote, or resource that has helped you, along your journey that you would like to share with our listeners?
Oh, I could give you about a million. I'm going to give you one though. I'm going to give you one that's on my website actually. And that is, there is only one success. To be able to spend your life in your own way.
Mm. There's only one success to be able to spend your life in your own way.
Exactly. Because what success means to me, what success means to you, what success means to somebody else might be completely different. Completely different. And so
absolutely.
You find out what successful means to you and follow it.
That's great. Is that a quote from someone in particular or is
it's,
that a quote from you?
Christopher. No, it's not mine actually. It's Christopher Morley. And I think he did all sorts of things. I think primarily a poet.
Great. Great. Well, and so to round things out, Lisa, can you tell us where on the internet we can find you?
Yes, you can find me on my website, which is lisacherrybeaumont.com. And Beaumont is BEAUMONT, lisacherrybeaumont.com.
Great. And we will provide links in the show notes so you can get there quickly. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. And to close out our time, I would like to say hell yes together on the count of three. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. One, two, three.
Hell yes.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lisa.
It's been a pleasure, Norman.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes life.